Rejoice in the Lord always. I shall say it again, rejoice. Paul wrote these words when he was imprisoned. He was under house arrest in Rome, in chains, unsure of what his fate would be if he'd be put to death and when that might be. And he wrote these words to the people, to the community of Philippi. Rejoice, he said to them. And they were a community which was undergoing intense suffering and great persecution. But he tells them to rejoice in the Lord, to have no anxiety at all, but to place their hope in Him, and the peace of God which surpasses all understanding shall be in their minds and in their hearts. Rejoice in the Lord always. How? How? Because the joy that Paul speaks of is a joy that's rooted not in any external circumstances, but it's a joy that's rooted in Jesus Christ with Him. That His joy came from the reality and from this act of faith that rejoicing is. Not an emotion, but an act of faith that Jesus was with Him. In Advent, the church takes us by the hand and asks us to come with it. And in the first week, it tells us to be vigilant, to look and to watch for the Lord. Otherwise, we may miss Him. He might come and we'll miss Him. In the second week, it tells us through John the Baptist, prepare the way for the Lord. Through humility, repentance, and confession. So that when He does arrive, the one who we watched for, we might be able to receive Him fully. And so each of the weeks He comes closer and there's this greater and greater union with Him. And in this third week of Advent, the church implores us, Gaudete. Gaudete. Rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord. That He who you watched for and He who you're preparing to receive, that already with Him you might rejoice because He is with you and you are with Him. And this is the source of the joy. His presence, His real presence. Emmanuel, God with us, rejoice, for He shall come to thee. There are the two deaths which reverberated throughout the Dickinson community this week. And every death is tragic, but a death of young ones is particularly horrible and tragic. Cecilia, who's a teenage girl at Dickinson High School, and Cooper, who is an 11-year-old boy at Trinity. And many people throughout the last days who had never met them, they were heartbroken and they felt deeply the loss. Which that's a sign of a healthy community. When people you don't even know, your heart is broken for them and for their family, and you pray for them. That's a healthy community. And the church, this Sunday, she tells us, commands us even, Gaudete, rejoice. And it feels a bit out of place. Like somehow rejoicing would be insensitive in the midst of everything. But God did not create death. Nor does God rejoice in death. But rather, God, He comes to us, He enters into death, and He transforms it. And And this is the source of our rejoicing. That even in the midst of sorrow, Jesus, He comes to us. Remember that before Jesus, before the incarnation, there was only sorrow and darkness. To understand that, there was no hope except for the small flame of a promise that was given right after the fall. There was complete sorrow and darkness. This is existence without the Savior. There was just the promise, which was a small flame. But now, the Lord has come to us, and there is sorrow which is real, and there is joy that is real as well. We experience this even in the mystery of the Mass, in which we declare the mystery both of the cross and the resurrection together. That now, sorrow and joy, they can and they do, and they're meant to, in this time, exist together. The opposite of rejoicing isn't sorrow. The opposite of rejoicing is hopelessness. It's despair. It's the difference between the heart which is in the midst of great sadness and which is broken, of turning away from God or turning into itself, and the heart which is in the midst of great sorrow, turning and lifting oneself to God there. To describe it in words, as it always does, though, is difficult. Because the rejoicing that Paul speaks of is an act of faith. Which an act of faith, everyone, requires a vision that is not one that we have in natural human ways. It's a vision of faith. It's a vision of the heart. It's the promise and the flame that even now, where there is joy and sorrow, there is joy with the sorrow because God is with us and because of the promise that those who cling to Him, who remain with Him, will be with Him in heaven where there is only joy. But even that, words don't really capture it well. But the image, at least in my own mind, that captures it the best of this joy and the sorrow together was 8 years ago, one of my best friends from college had died, and at the funeral, at the burial, his older brother and some of his other best friends, his closest buddies, with tears streaming down their faces and with hearts that were torn open, were singing songs of praise to God, lifting their hearts in faith to God. There was no happiness, but there was joy. And there was no despair, but there was sorrow. Joy and sorrow. Rejoicing in the midst of even darkness. This is what the hymn that we sing, the beginning of every Advent Mass, O come, Emmanuel, is exactly that. Israel, who is still in darkness, who is still in the midst of its sorrow, is told to rejoice, to rejoice. Why? Because Emmanuel, God with us, He shall come to you. This flame of hope. And we sing these hymns, and you know, the O come, Emmanuel, it goes back to the 9th century antiphons, and each verse speaks of the darkness that begins to dissipate, beginning with speaking of Israel in its lonely exile. Israel, the people of God, under Satan's tyranny. But to rejoice because Emmanuel will come, who will give victory over the grave, who will open wide our heavenly home and close the path to misery. Emmanuel, who will dispose the gloomy clouds of night and death's dark shadows put to flight. Emmanuel, who will thyself be our King of Peace. Rejoice. Rejoice, Emmanuel, God with us, for he shall come to us. And he comes to us within our darkest night. Always, he comes to us within our darkest night, and it's there that he kindles the fire, which is the fire of faith that never dies away.